Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get it. I got five on it. All right. Try to keep up with me here now.
Okay.
Duke beat Pitt last night in women's basketball.
Yeah.
After the game, Kara Lawson made her concerns and complaints known that after their loss against Florida State on Sunday on the road. Now, keep in mind, the Duke women are in first place, or in a tie for first place in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she said last night, not after the game, but last night, that Florida State had used a men's basketball in the first half of their game.
You realized it was a men's ball. And we had played the first half with a men's ball. We then alerted the table that we needed to change the ball. And the table would not change the ball, but then we alerted the head official to come and look at it. He came and looked at it, and he changed the ball. We then played the second half with a women's ball. It's been very frustrating that at this level of basketball, that a mistake like that happens, that could have impacted the outcome of the game. Let me be clear, Florida State beat us. They beat us playing with a men's ball in the first half and a women's ball in the second half. But I can't say if we'd have played with a women's ball in the first half and the second half that we would have won. But they can't say that either. It's very frustrating that a game that has so many conference implications, selection and seeding implications.
What's odd here is you can hear the conviction in Kara Lawson's voice. So obviously she believes this happened, but according to the ACC, they put out a statement this morning. Upon completion of the game, the conference office was made aware of the allegation and immediately conducted a comprehensive review. This included discussion with all parties involved, including game officials, game administrators, table crew, and both schools. Following the thorough and objective review, there was no evidence found to support the claim. This one feels fairly certain that you would be able to discern if the team used a different basketball than the one that was supposed to be used for the gender in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. This is not like some secret scrimmage that's not on TV. This isn't some game that only one team played in. This is a game where everyone was available.
You and I, and obvious. You and I both know that.
But I'm not doubting players, that she doesn't believe it.
Sure.
Because you can hear it in her voice.
She clearly believes it, but what's... This is tough because there's a lot of logical things in my brain that don't compute with what her conviction is, okay?
Okay.
You can be convinced of something to be true. That doesn't necessarily make it true. Because I have questions. Okay, so if the ball was different, why wasn't Florida State also saying, hey, what's up with this ball?
Right.
Why don't you, if the ball was different, why don't you actually stop the game? That's the other
part.
Which
you would immediately know the difference. Yeah. Everyone in the game would immediately know.
You would basically talk to the officials, I need this checked. And if they tried to brush it off and you're convinced that it truly is the wrong basketball, you refuse to play at this point. So clearly, the way I see this play out, and she mentioned it, like, look, they had to play with the same ball too. And they won, etc. I think the way this played out is like how I think what happened here is some of the sausage being made in the ACC and how people go about complaining to the league office about things just got exposed.
Okay.
This was never supposed to become public, ever. Much like we'll tap into your NC State days. Like, how many times did Debbie Yao send something to Greensboro over basketball or football officiating?
Often.
Right. How often did you actually hear about it or any sort of public statements that were made?
Not
Debbie
often.
Debbie would say, I sent something to the league office, but she didn't. She would never say, she never came back and said, well, this was wrong publicly. She simply would say, I'm looking into it, and then leave it at that, okay? Kara took it another step by just knowing what the answer was, not accepting that answer, and then going off at a press conference to expose it. So the ACC is then putting her in a position where they have to dispute what she says. And it also puts Duke in a position where we're like, well, who, what do you have to say about this? Because clearly it's a school matter, because you care about rankings too. You care about seeding. So this got, this all was exposed, and I don't think the story's over. I'll be really curious to see what a follow-up to this is, given that she clearly believes that the wrong ball was being used, and the ACC says there's nothing to corroborate that. So, something got exposed by her. Why did she do it? Was it just simply she didn't get the answer she wanted, and she decided to use the press conference to make it known? We'll see. Next up.
One of the four, all of the four, or half of the four.
You got to catch this moment from Derek Carr, who's not going to be the Raiders quarterback next year. He's lighting it up at the skills competition. Ryan Clark, ESPN, this thing's getting broadcast, and he has this exchange about his future.
Listen, Derek, you've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Not that hot. That's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
That's a hell of a line, man. Hell of a line from Derek Carr. The question, Joe, is where is that somewhere else?
I think teams are going to be interested.
The Panthers should be interested.
The Titans are going to be interested. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, who the heck knows what the 49ers are going to do, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing Jimmy Garoppolo. That doesn't mean Brock Purdy is going to be healthy enough. Doesn't mean that all of their options are solved either. So no. It's just kind of, I think it's going to be a wild offseason right before the draft and after the draft for all of the musical chairs for quarterbacks this offseason.
The problem with Derek Carr is that getting him is a little bit more complicated than Jimmy Garoppolo, because there's all sorts of in-the-weeds contract situations and no-trade clauses that are going to lead to the next couple of weeks of complicated factors. I don't think that the Raiders are going to cut Derek Carr and then he's just going to go name his price wherever. I don't see that happening. I could see them reworking a deal and then a trade happens. I can see any number of things, but it's going to cost somebody something to get Derek Carr, not just money. Jimmy Garoppolo is a free agent, and that's why the Carolina Panthers, I think, should be more interested in Jimmy G going forward, because he's an upgrade over what they've had the last couple seasons. And it's something that Dan Orlovsky brought up on First Take on ESPN.
I would say Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Carolina Panthers. I'm bullish on the Panthers. I was last year. They almost win the division in week 17. There's a couple reasons why. Number one, this is a top 10 defense in Carolina. Very talented roster. Frank Reich, new head coach, takes over a football team that has a couple of perimeter players that are solid. DJ Moore leading that track. An offensive line that I think is going to trend to being a top 10 unit. Two good running backs. So Jimmy Garoppolo goes to a very similar, at least foundational surrounding piece that he had in San Francisco.
So that's Dan Orlovsky on ESPN earlier today on Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm in agreement with him. I think the Panthers should pursue Jimmy Garoppolo. He's somebody that we've identified this offseason that they could afford, I think. And the other thing to keep in mind, and one thing I'll be stressing this entire offseason, don't look at past free agent or trade rumor things that played out that didn't work for the Panthers to be applied to Frank Reich. As we're coming to find out more and more and more, and shout out to Steve Smith on his podcast, putting Matt Rhule on blast for the way he went about things in Carolina. That gets around. That gets around locker rooms. And it can recontextualize discussions about Matthew Stafford and others that might have been interested in going to the Panthers, but not to play for Matt Rhule. They'll take David Tepper's money, man, but they didn't want to be coached by Matt Rhule. With Frank Reich, might be a different tune. Next up.
One, two, three.
We've got UFC fights this weekend.
Oh, we
back
do?
In action.
Okay.
Which means we've got Victoria's MMA secret.
Well, we had a week off from UFC, and we're coming back to a meh card, but who knows? Maybe the Vegas atmosphere with the Pro Bowl games being in the air will help spark some craziness this weekend. This Saturday, we're getting UFC Vegas 68 with a main event that was supposed to happen for UFC Vegas 65. Sergey Spivak and Derek Lewis are set to go after the heavyweight title again, and hopefully no more tummy aches for Derek or whatever the illness was. However, you might want to take a nap for this one. This card isn't kicking off until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the prelims, that is, thanks to those Pro Bowl games, and the main event technically won't even happen until Sunday, 1 a.m. to be exact. So let's hope these fights are worth missing some Z's. But the UFC isn't the only MMA organization making some Saturday waves this weekend. Bellator is making their CBS debut for Bellator 290, and it's bringing a familiar UFC name with it. The main event is going to be between Ryan Bader, who left the UFC in 2007 and then joined Bellator in 2017. He'll be fighting Fedor Emelianenko, who plans on taking the gloves all the way off after almost 20 years in the octagon. This card is scheduled to start at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so get that nap in and get ready for some bangers.
Nothing but bangers. Shout out to Victoria, her MMA secret. Next up.
And I don't even care who number two is.
Duke, Carolina, Saturday. There's a bunch of other ACC matchups. We got NC State and Georgia Tech, obviously. But it's Duke and Carolina that's going to get most of the national attention. College game day is going to be at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And at 6:30, it's going to tip off. And by the time we get to 6:30, we're going to have re-racked all the things that happened last season, right? Coach K's last year, the loss at Cameron Indoor Stadium, unacceptable. What happened in the Final Four? John Shire spoke to the media yesterday and talked about how he has to put that in a day-tight compartment.
Yeah, to be honest with you, you move on. And it's such a different team, different circumstances for us. Obviously for them, they have, you know, a lot of returning players, and you know, Hubert was the coach last year, but you know, we haven't, won't talk about with our team. It's not going to be about that. It's about where we are right now, where they are, and winning this game for Saturday. So you take any experience you've had in the past, you learn from it, of course, but it's not about putting that aside or, you know, trying to think of how do we use that as motivation. It's about right now where we are. And that's what I'm going to focus on with our team.
That's John Shire, Duke head basketball coach, on how they put last year behind them. And I do agree with them. It's one of the things, Joe, that I was sitting there kind of thinking about as I was watching the Duke-Wake Forest game. I'm like, man, it's a completely different group, completely different stakes. They play a completely different way. I think they play a hell of a lot better defense than what we saw from Duke last year. And they also are I think that this Duke team is a tougher Duke team than we saw last year. Last year's Duke team really enjoyed running you out of the building, but when they got pushed, we saw the results, including from Carolina. This Duke team responds a heck of a lot better to getting pushed, which has been Carolina's problem over the last 2 years when they get pushed. It was the big discourse after another loss to Pitt, Joe. And to me, the biggest thing to keep an eye on is not Caleb Love's production. We know that Caleb Love is likely going to turn it on and hit threes. I really do think it's going to be how Duke defends Armando Bacot with their rotation of big guys.
Let's not forget, Carolina just lost to Pitt. Mm-hmm. Jeff Capel, you know, I don't know how friendly he is with John Shire these days, but it doesn't take a whole lot to watch the game and realize that Pitt was able to double Bacot at certain situations and force him into a bad game. Now, the odds of Bacot having two bad games in a row is probably not great.
Yeah.
But fouls are going to be on the docket here. It's going to be important how the whistle goes. You mentioned you've been over there this year, and it's been physical for Duke in particular. And they're deeper than they normally are. They have more size than they normally do. Almost like a reversal of roles here, where we'll see Duke kind of muck it up, and maybe the Heels try to hit those threes.
Duke is absolutely going to muck it up. My question, who fouls out first, Derek Lively or Ryan Young?
It'll be interesting for Lively, because these are the kind of games where, you know, go back to the first year that Love was in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was supposed to be this hotshot recruit, and he was kind of laboring through that first season.
Yeah.
And then he exploded in this game, and you were like, now, wait a second, what just happened? And you really do have to remember in this game, this is the reason these guys come
to
these schools.
It's the one they circle, man.
This is the one they want to play in. They know it's their spotlight, and they know everyone's watching, and that includes the NBA. So, you know, this is typically where you do see, remember the first game last year, Paolo Banchero went bonkers in this game. So this is typically when you see some of those top five recruits, which is Filipowski, Lively. Don't know if Whitehead's playing or not. I don't
expect him to play.
But this is where you would see them kind of show out in years past. So it'll be interesting, because we haven't really had the Lively breakout game, have we? But this is a big challenge for him, and maybe he can put himself in position to be an important piece for Duke moving forward.
Next up.
number one.
Wait, Duke Carolina's not number one? Well, I mean, it is, but in a different context, because regardless of what happens on Saturday, I already know what Sunday morning or Saturday night after the game into Sunday morning, and by the time we get to the show on Monday, how it's going to be discussed. I'll explain next.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700.
Check us out on YouTube. Look up 99.9 The Fan Raleigh on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who's already subscribed. Let's keep those numbers up there. Hit the likes, leave some comments. And it's more than just stuff from the show. We got some fun things that we got coming your way next week. Might coincide with the Super Bowl. So I already know how the game is going to get discussed, regardless who the winner is on Saturday. It'll be right back to where we were following the Final Four game in New Orleans with North Carolina beating Duke. And it's funny. One of the UNC guys that I follow, been following for a long time, he's a big UNC fan, said no matter what happens on Saturday or even going forward, it's not going to validate or wash the stain or wash away what happened in New Orleans last year. And I asked the question, what is the statute of limitations on this? Because I do feel that the rivalry doesn't go away. There's new chapters and everything else. But this one feels bigger than, you know, a shot that happened or whatever. Like, I got a response from a Duke fan, and I'm not dismissing this. I'm just saying he makes valid points. This is from a Duke fan who said, yeah, it'll eventually run out, the statute of limitations, bringing up what happened. Here's why. Michael Jordan lost his last game versus Duke. Okay. Dean and Roy combined for 5 national titles. K's got 5 himself. Kansas won in the end at the Final Four. Hate level has remained at DEFCON 1 since Capel shot in 95. Became ESPN's most played college basketball play, directly following Leitner's shot. So nothing has changed. I'm like, okay, that's valid. And then here's from a UNC fan. Just a reminder that in order for Duke to settle the score, based on what happened last year, Hubert Davis has to win 5 titles, become the winningest coach, announce he's retiring, plan a party for his last regular season game against an unranked Duke team, and then lose again in the Final Four. Then you can call it even. I'll take it a step further. There's only one. If I go full on Doctor Strange and I got the time stone and I'm looking ahead in the millions of permutations of a timeline, there's only one thing in the end game. Duke would have to beat Carolina in a championship.
See, I disagree.
Now, the guy makes a great point about Hubert becoming K. And then that's fantastic. Please don't misinterpret. I enjoy that.
No, that
and
good.
I also enjoy the Duke fan making the point. And I kind of come down with the Duke fan here because it's important to note this is an NC State North Carolina football, mm-hmm. right? Where neither team has won anything worth anything in 30 years, mm-hmm. 40 years. Okay. This is Duke Carolina basketball where you just mentioned the title count. The titles matter. And no matter who has won, what matters is who's won the title last. That's what matters. So while you may sit there and go, oh, it's not going to be the same, you're right. It's not the same. Carolina will always have a chip to play. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me that John Shire is about to go on a run like Mike Krzyzewski went on, where he went to the Final Four 8 times in 10 years, you're telling me that Carolina fans are going to be okay with that at the end of those 10 years? Carolina fans are going to be like, yeah, you know, remember that? No one's going to remember it. Or no one's going to remember it the way that they do right now. Right now, it is obviously fresh. But the rivalry only goes to the next title. And with these two teams, you don't have to wait often for those titles. Of course, that was with their Hall of Fame coaches that they've been blessed to have for many, many, many decades.
Will that continue?
That's what makes it interesting to me.
Isn't that the end game?
Can Duke continue without K? Yes. We know Carolina can continue without Dean because mm-hmm. they did it with Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Hubert almost did it in year one. Now, he didn't. Now, keep in mind, Indiana, with Mike Davis in year two, got to the championship game, and they thought, we got the right coach.
Keep it rolling.
Hey, man, that's all we needed.
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going to last and what's not. And I'm not suggesting Shire's about to go rip off 8-10, but I'm just saying if that happened, Carolina fans would not be happy because they weren't happy in 92 when they capped it off, when they capped that run off, and they were like, man, what just happened? How did we get lapped?
Right.
What happened?
Right.
So
this is something that we're not going to have the answer to for 10 years.
But you're right, though. And in 10 years, just as we yesterday talked about Jason Capel, and we had to, you know, make sure history does not get revised for the problems from 02.
Yeah.
There will be people in 10 years saying, yes, but Mike Krzyzewski still lost his last home game and they beat him in the Final Four. That's part of the rivalry now. That's what it is.
Always be part of it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on YouTube if you missed anything from today's show. All you got to do is look up 99.9 The Fan Raleigh and you will find us there. Hit that subscribe button and you'll get wonderful content every time you log on to the app or you hit the website. So I promised you I would look at the forecast. We're still way out. You know, we're not in that 10-day window. And even that gets a little dicey in the 10-day window. So I looked at February 18th. We're trying to get some consistency here. Last couple of weather updates, it was a high of 67 with a 60% chance of rain. Then we got a couple days where they said it was going to be a high of 60 with a 20% chance of rain. The latest forecast, a high of 65 degrees, a low of 37, decreasing clouds with a 20% chance of rain. Folks, I'm here to remind you, the only thing that matters for the outdoor game that night, no rain. No rain. I doubt it's going to get up to the 90s on February 18th. So all you got to do, I mean, if that's the case, man, how quickly do we find another planet? The point is, just no rain. That's what we want. And so far, the forecast looks like we're good. High of 65, 20% chance of rain. We're going to try to get out there on Monday to see the refrigeration coming through Carter Finley Stadium. That should be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
That should be fun. Just from the science of it all, the physics of it all is going to be very interesting.
I know my man Ethan Hyman probably already has the cam set up to get the whole fast forward, what do they call it?
The time lapse. Yeah. The time lapse, yes. He's absolutely going to have the time lapse. We'll go back to the NFL, and with the skills competition last night and the Pro Bowl this weekend, there's a lot of conversation about quarterbacks. We know Tom Brady's off the board, and I was listening to Mike Greenberg earlier today. And it was funny. He's going in on the Jets, and he's like, oh, Jets fans, listen up. Like, I got a scoop for you. Something to keep an eye on if you're a Jets fan. And I was like, oh, this is why Greeny's the best. He's like, oh, what does Greenberg have? Like, what are sources telling him? He says, keep an eye on the Jets and Derek Carr. I'm like, oh, what's going on? He says, if the Jets are interested in Derek Carr, it means that the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes didn't go in their way. But if you don't hear about the Jets and Derek Carr over the next couple of weeks, it means they're all in on Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, well, damn it, Mike, you did it again to me. You used your powers of deduction to get an idea of where the Jets might be going in terms of quarterback. I could say the same thing about the Panthers. Joe, listen up. If you don't see Derek Carr's name attached to the Carolina Panthers over the next couple of weeks,
I'll be disappointed.
I'll be disappointed too, but it means we're all in on Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm going to use my powers of deduction here. Notice how I didn't say Sam Darnold. Jeremy Fowler on ESPN earlier today highlighting some of the complications for Derek Carr's future.
Really, a trade or a release could happen at any point. I've talked to multiple league executives who say, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him this weekend because he's got the Pro Bowl. And if for some reason he got hurt, which nobody expects, then that $40 million would kick in for injury. Ooh. Automatically, Raiders would be on the hook for that. So something has to shake out soon. GM Dave Ziegler is talking to teams. At the Senior Bowl, there were some talks. I believe the New Orleans Saints are a team to at least watch here. Dennis Allen, the head coach, was with Derek Carr's rookie year in Oakland. So there's a connection there.
So that's Jeremy Fowler on the potential future of Derek Carr. And again, there's some complications about cutting him and the contract and the money that he's owed and the trade and no trade clause. I'm not saying it's not something you don't pursue. I'm simply pointing out that the Carolina Panthers might not be in a position to do so because of trade capital. You got to remember, they're trying to right some of the wrongs from the last couple of years.
I think you're misreading this one.
Okay.
I think this is a game of chicken with Carr and the Raiders. I think they end up releasing him. I think he ends up choosing where he wants to go.
Okay. If that plays out, then maybe the Panthers do have an opportunity to get in on Derek Carr. That gets to the second part of it. What's too much? You know, I make fun of the salary cap all the time, but how do you make it work? You know, is David Tepper feeling frisky and going to drop a bunch of guaranteed money for Derek Carr? I mean, we've seen it in the past. The guy will spend money if he falls in love with something. So just something to keep an eye on going forward. In the NFL, I still think Jimmy Garoppolo is a good fit for the Carolina Panthers. And I do think that Frank Reich, their new head coach, is going to change the dynamics of how quarterbacks look at the Carolina Panthers versus where we were with Matt Rhule, who, shout out to Steve Smith, roasted, absolutely roasted. So I mentioned StubHub. And, you know, we've been kind of joking around, keeping an eye on StubHub prices for the outdoor game. Mm-hmm. And right now the outdoor game is stuck at around $300. I haven't really seen the prices go up or go down. If you're just looking for a single to get into the outdoor game right now, it's at $297. All right, $297. Section 15, row DD.
I feel like you're giving out bad information.
Why? Because of the fees. All right, so this is pre-fees.
I would just add $50 to it.
All right, so there you go. $350 for the sake of the argument. Like, okay. Now, last year, Coach K's last season, the hottest ticket in sports was to get to Cameron Indoor Stadium. You got the scene there at the end of the year for Coach K's farewell where NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and Jerry Seinfeld are sitting next to each other. It was like the strangest thing. Like, what's the deal with Adam Silver and Jerry?
Who are these people?
I was very confused by
and
that.
And why
pairing.
Are they singing Cascada?
I was very confused by that. So we were talking tickets that were in the multiple thousands of dollars range, right? For that last game. So I was like, okay, well, what's the price for? What do you think the price is for tomorrow's game? If you just wanted a ticket.
$400.
$540 for tomorrow's ticket. Get in price, which I guess at that point it's about $600.
Sure.
With the fees and everything else. I'm somewhat surprised. I guess the rivalry isn't dead. I guess people still want to go to this game and pay a premium on the secondary market. I'm kidding, folks.
I want you to think of this like all of your Star Wars movies. I really do.
And that is what?
They're all the same, and yet people still line up and go watch them, even though they know what's going to happen.
No, not after the last movie.
You're telling me if they don't come out and go, hey, we're going to do three more.
No, I don't know.
You're
man.
Not going to go. Yeah, I do not believe it. I don't know,
I
do. No one. There's not one person who believes you right now.
I don't know, dude.
Not one.
Last Jedi was, or last, I don't even know the freaking name.
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker was so terrible that I have a hard time remembering the name of it. That's how bad it was.
I don't believe you.
You know how many times I've seen that movie?
That's like me saying to Dennis, if they come out with another Avengers or whatever they're doing right now with Quadrophenia or whatever it's called.
What?
That you're not
going to
be like,
Quantumania.
I want to go see it all. Of course you do.
Yeah.
That's a different beast, man. Different beast.
Yeah. Star Wars got hurt itself.
I mean,
the Avengers movies are all so different. I keep forgetting.
Well, you see, in this Avengers movie, they were going for a red crystal. In the other Avengers movie, they were going for a blue crystal.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding, ding.
It's not under pressure. It's a completely different thing. No, see this
and
bad
I enjoy
guy,
the hell out of him. Please don't get me wrong.
No, you see, this superhero had a less tragic backstory than this other superhero's tragic backstory.
Yeah, it's all the same.
But we'll call C.L. Brown here in a little bit, get his thoughts on Saturday. In the meantime, as we go into this weekend filled with ACC hoops, I did want to highlight NC State for like a hot minute because Georgia Tech's going to be in town 1 o'clock on Saturday, and I was incredibly impressed with the way that NC State handled Florida State in what we described this week as a don't screw it up week, right? Is this a law of the wolf situation where since they surprised you by not having a problem on Saturday or on Wednesday that it might be a problem on Saturday?
No, I think they're playing with a lot of confidence.
I'm with you on that.
I mean, Georgia Tech could get them. The way that Josh Pastner changes defense has given Kevin Keats and NC State problems in the past. Now, State's won the last two, but Pastner won 5 of the first 6 against NC State.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. We got CL on the phone. CL Brown, News and Observer, covers the Tar Heels. CL, hey, man, thanks for coming on. And on Saturday, I mean, it could be an oversimplification that we've seen Caleb Love go off on these games, and he's been struggling to be consistent from three. The Heels have been struggling to stay consistent from three. Is Duke going to be the thing that cures it?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, Caleb has essentially killed Duke for most better part of 5 games. In a game that I feel like he takes personally. He's never told me that. That's just me saying that. But, you know, I mean, his guy is Jason Tatum, both from St. Louis. That's essentially like a big brother to him. And I think initially in his recruiting process, I think initially he may have wanted to go to Duke, even though he was raised. His dad was a big Carolina fan. He went to the 2005 national championship game in St. Louis, all that good stuff. So I think he understands what this game is and how you can kind of solidify your name, you know, in history of the programs by playing well in this game. So, I mean, if nothing else happens, he's always got the Final Four 3-pointer shot over Mark Williams, and he's golden, right? So, yeah, he definitely, though, is a key. It's kind of funny. I feel like Caleb, RJ, and Armando have not really shot well in the same game, I feel like, for most of this season. So we'll see if they all can kind of get in harmony on Saturday.
CL Brown covers UNC for the News and Observer, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. All right, CL, what was your takeaway from the end of the Pitt loss over at the Smith Center? It just felt like another one of those games where North Carolina, I keep waiting for them to kind of breathe fire, CL, and I feel like I'm still waiting. Maybe that's Saturday at Cameron, but watching the end of that Pitt game, I was like, oh, this looks like a lot of the things they've struggled with this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like they've been waiting, kind of feeling like because of the way things happened last season and it almost felt like a light switch, like I keep feeling like they think, okay, almost like NBA players, like, all right, it's just the regular season. We can turn it on when we need to at the end, you know? And I feel like they keep waiting for that to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, some of these games that they've played and lost in the end, which you could go back to the first game at Pittsburgh as well, and then the 2 games earlier in the season against Iowa State and Alabama when they were out in Portland. It just seems like in the closing minutes of the game, when they really have to make a play, that play is not there for whatever reason, somebody doesn't make that play. And so, you know, I look back at that game on Wednesday and it really came down to me to the possession where they had the ball. It's, you know, I don't know, under 50 seconds at that point and a 1-point lead, and Armando gets doubled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just that Armando traveled out of the double team. It was that there was no one to throw it to. You know, he was just kind of by himself, and he didn't want to throw the ball away, so he was stuck trying to make a play. And he admitted after the game that he should have just called timeout. But, you know, all of them, they were kind of in disarray because he didn't have an outlet. There was no one who was really – I felt like on that side of the court really making themselves available. I don't think it was that the defense just had everything shut down. So, They're going to have to figure that out in the closing minutes because I feel like it's going to be a tight game tomorrow.
C.L. Brown, News and Observer, covers the Tar Heels, joining us here on the Easter Automotive Group Hotline, Duke and Carolina on Saturday, 6:30. All right, we got about a minute here. If you are Carolina, which Duke player are you most concerned with on Saturday?
Oh, man. I don't even know the health status right now of Whitehead, but he, to me, on their roster is the player I'd be, you know, most concerned about. Because I feel like if he's ever healthy and playing to his potential, then they're a totally different team. The problem has just been he hadn't been that all year. But this Duke team is so different to me because there's not really a lot of guys that scare me. You look on that roster and you're like, you know, even Filipowski with the consistency that he's had this year, he's not a guy that you look at like you're scared to play against. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, he's going to get his numbers. But
by the way, I think that's an advantage to Duke, by the way, in that they might look at this team and not think of like, man, who are these guys? You know, I'm just saying.
Well, they're in no position to look at anybody like, who are these guys?
Well,
right?
You know, it's funny. Both teams are kind of in that spot, too, because they're not really lighting the world on fire. All right, CL, we'll see you on Saturday, man. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, appreciate y'all having me. Sorry technology failed.
Hey, man, the phone always works. All right, man, take it easy.